Blog Talk Radio.
Divine all blessing, peace and love, joy and prosperity.
prosperity, unity, and community. You are now listening live and in archive to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Hudu Obeya Okur, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, and revolutionary, from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, teaching, my walk, and my work along this divine life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother Father Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding. The place from where I begin and the place from where I crystallize and realize all endeavors. Understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine reality. And so it is, Asha. Today's Tuesday, February 8th, 2011, and I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you, live and in archive, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum, universally, from the working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Tiya Mecca, in the legendary, historic, beautiful, and enchanted city of New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist hoodoo Obeya life path and journey, passing down the great Obeya stick and the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, and minerals. Do join me here each and every day at high noon at U.S. Central Standard Time for the Power Lunch here on Blog Talk Radio. My listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. Please be patient. If you have a question, comment, or request, press the number one on your telephone keypad. This will alert me that there is a caller in queue, and I will address your question, comment, or request as time and spirit allow. And again, you are tuned in, plugged in, sharing, and caring with the Divine Prince, House of the Divine Prince, Thai Potions, and Hoodoo Central here in the beautiful and enchanted city of New Orleans, Louisiana, Lafayette Cemetery number 2, here with you on Blog Talk Radio. Again, our live listen and call in number, area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967, to listen in or call in with your question, comment, or request. I offer you hoodoo secrets and recipes, divine affirmation and meditation, divine joy and prosperity, revelation, and manifestation here with you each and every day, daily, weekday, at high noon, U.S. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. And my website, where I can be reached utilizing various means virtually 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, operating in 360 degrees of hoodoo, voodoo, obey, or wisdom, and overstanding is www.houseofthedivineprince.com. And please do recognize the many other qualified ministers, spiritualists, astrologers, numerologists, psychics, and practitioners who can be located in my various both temple groups beginning in the center of the first page of my website, www.houseofthedivineprince.com, where you will find my House of the Divine Prince King group. We are true friends, divine joy and prosperity, divine intervention, divine love and prosperity, divine manifestation, divine revelation, guiding voices of divination. And of course, Papa Say and I have a Hoodoo Central group on King as well. So please do visit. And also remember these very powerful voices in my virtual temple rooms, the Queen's Chamber and the King's Chamber, respectively. Papa Say, who airs here on Blog Talk Radio, can be found via his archived Blog Talk Radio player in the King's Chamber of my website, where you will find Brother Machati Baluti and Ujak Temple Ministries, also featured virtually 24 hours a day in the King's Chamber of my website. Please visit the Truth Terrorist, the Queen Ifama, serving nothing but the butt naked truth here on Blog Talk Radio via her Blog Talk Radio archive player, as well as Gogo Nana Alana Omare, Authentic Sangoma High Priestess, Goddess Love Light. She can also be found via her Blog Talk Radio archive player in the Queen's Chamber of my website. And of course, Sister Abana Racism Not Anonymous and the Recovery Room can now be found featured 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year via her Blog Talk Radio archive player in the Queen's Chamber of my website. And again, my website where I can be reached utilizing various means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, operating in 306 degrees of power and understanding is www.houseofthedivineprince.com, where I specialize in doing battle, difficult, and block situations of every type and endeavor, and I specialize in results. And again, be reminded of the several King virtual temple groups within my House of the Divine Prince site, where I offer a variety of pan-African world spiritual, religious, neurological, astrological, magical practitioners and vendors in one convenient location for my diverse collective of cultures and traditions. And they can be found beginning in the center of the first page of my website, www.houseofthedivineprince.com. I will be forward with the meditation affirmation, Hoodoo Secrets and Recipe and Divine Joy and Prosperity, Unity and Community. Momentarily, all is indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. I will be forward momentarily. Ashe.
Azunke pare le gbae azunke pare le gbae pare le gba me la jan ka se wo so azunke pare le pare vodu le gba
azunke pare le gbae
azunke I'm ke o pare no vodule. We pare no vodule ma chizu. Pare legba, men la jan kate wosho. O azunke, balge le ma en vodule pa.
Azunke, pare legba he.
With me here on Block Talk Radio. Today is February 8th, 2011. It is a time of great transition, transformation, and also challenge. And today my vision is of a three-sided triangle opening, expanding, and allowing for a greater influx of helpful, transformative energy to enter in. And it's pointing specifically towards Saturn in the sign of Libra today, in the sixth house, where we're sharing the Sun in Aquarius, the 10th, the Moon in Aries, and the 12th, Mercury in Aquarius in the 9th house, Venus in Capricorn in the 8th house, Mars in Aquarius in the 10th house, Jupiter and Aries in the 11th house, Saturn in Libra in the 6th house, Uranus in Pisces in the 11th house, Neptune in Aquarius in the 10th house, and Pluto in Capricorn in the 8th house. But again, as I did my early morning prayer and meditation and chart my astrological map as I do every day, I am often presented with an image, a vision, an archetypical symbol, if you will, of expression for the day and energy. And this triangle is formed by Aquarius, Aries, and Libra. And I see Saturn, who we often loosely symbolize as the half-man, half-beast that is symbolized in Sagittarius, as a transformational symbol of, again, not only our animal nature, as I suggested yesterday, but also our more conscious, divine, and godly nature. And it's making its descent, if you will, through Saturn in Libra into the sixth house. And when Saturn is in the sixth house, it's often focused on profound hard work, but also high expectation and challenge, and moving through something in order to get to a place of higher status, higher responsibility, higher awareness, if you will. So as we move forward along our individual journeys, but also our collective journey, let us endeavor to raise our vibration, our presence, to something higher than just ourselves and our most basic needs, but a more advanced collective need. And I hear someone saying, well, you know, I'm having a struggle right now meeting my most basic need. And indeed, it's a challenge that we all face at some point in our existence, whether you're born into wealth or poverty. We all must come to a place of understanding of our relationship, not only with money, but resources, how we move, access resources. And you've heard me say before, some of you, under the sound of my voice, are literally sitting on your resources, and you're sort of frozen in time and in a place of want, need, and necessity. And I implore you, I challenge you to take some risks, grow beyond the familiar, what's comfortable, and challenge yourself to a more creative, a more free, because truly understand there's freedom in knowing your value, your resource. I can be without housing. I can be without certain, quote-unquote, necessities. But as long as I have my life, health, and strength, as they say in the church, but usage of my hands, of my ability to make things, to create things, to write, to crochet, to bead, to fashion my jewelry pieces, to make my gris-gris, I'm always with resource. So I had to come to a place of moving beyond identifying success, identifying resource as just this final paper product. For those who understand, the most wealthiest controllers, if you will, in our society often are not moving paper. They're moving creative paper, ideas, contracts, but the Georgias and, you know, the dollars, the fives, the tens, the twenties, it's at the very lowest end of the spectrum. And know that our not being clear about that is by design. Or indeed, this system is set up on the backs of those who provide the services, the workers, the employee. And indeed, your best good is not often the forefront of thought and priority with many of these organizations. So we must begin to value stealth, what we can do. Without anybody else, without that extra help, without that extra push, just what you can do. Don't fear your mystery, your secret, but explore that. Go within that. Find out what that is for you, and then begin to move forward. Aries is a fire sign, a cardinal sign. Vital, impulsive, often thought of as symbolic of the male force in our society. And the word cardinal, and I've told you this before, comes from the French word cardo, meaning a hinge, that which turns something. It is an important part. The cardinal directions are north, south, east, and west. They are the times when seasons change. Aries for spring, Cancer for summer, Libra for autumn, Capricorn for winter. They are times of new beginning. So Aries often heralds change, movement, new beginnings. I also wanted to today reintroduce, if you will, a clearer understanding of ATR, African traditional religions, what we do, particularly right now in this time, space, and dispensation. And with all the information and history and resources out there, there's still all this confusion around ATR, if you will, even to the point of wanting to change ATR now to ADR, African-derived religions. I prefer ATR, African traditional religions. And the term ADR, African-derived religions, used to identify various religions transplanted to the Americas within the enslavement of Africans. For simplicity, ADR will be used to denote Afro-Caribbean, Afro-Brazilian traditions survive culturally and ideological assault and continue to provide spiritual resources for us at the family level, the community level, the personal level, the individual level. But there's a blurring, if you will, and a misunderstanding of the many branches and paths and what they mean and how they come together and what separates them. And I think that for many, that is a mute topic. I think it's irrelevant, the specific ritual or the specific path, but more so the meat, the spirit behind, the purpose, the force for these practices. And that's what really, in my opinion, keeps things alive, keeps things moving. A historian by the name of George Simpson grouped these religions into five types. First were the Neo-African religions, Santeria in Cuba, the Dominican Republic in Puerto Rico, Budon in Haiti, Shango in Trinidad and Grenada, Candomblé in Brazil, drew from similar concepts and borrowed practices from Catholicism that reminded them, as it were, of African practices and reality. I think it's a misnomer that the two mixed or merged. More so, one was a cover for a symbolic representation for the other. The second of the five religions influenced by Protestant missionary activity, Kumina, and the convenience cult in Jamaica, the big drum dance of Karaku, Grenada, and Kele and St. Lucia. The third group, influenced by Pentecostal groups from the United States, religions that emphasize divination, healing, spirit, mediumship. And the fourth type, Ubanda in Brazil, Maria Leonza cult in Venezuela, Spiritismo in Puerto Rico. And the fifth type, Rastafarianism, a quote-unquote 12th century religion with a socio-political agenda. But indeed, these five groupings sort of make up the generic African traditional religious system, or now they're trying to give us ADR, African-derived religion. And depending on where you are in the world, they have their history, their myths, their legends, their stereotypes that people associate with these various paths. And Afro-Caribbean religions trace their origins, as all of these paths do, to Africa, and specifically to West African paths. Santeria, which is practiced in Cuba in many parts of the United States, is perhaps the most well-known of the ATR or ADR paths, and it is called Regalia de Ocha, or Regla Laconi. Regla de Palo, or Palo Monte, or Palo Mayombe, is linked to the religious traditions of specific ethnic groups like Angola, Congo, Gabon. Regla Arara, also called Gaga, derives from the Dogon people in Mali. Naningo, also called Ababakuka, is associated by practitioners with African thought, beliefs, and rituals, but does not have a quote-unquote specific ethnic group that it draws its foundation from. Rather, several throughout specifically the Northwest African diaspora. Budon is practiced in Haiti in the United States, but it's also the national religion of Benin, and it's still, I believe, the most widely practiced religion in Togo and many other areas centrally located in that zone of, I guess that would be Congo, Central, North Central Africa maybe. And Winti, practiced in Suriname, is a multinational, multicultural religion that incorporates African, Indian, and Christian practices, much as the Mama Leonza, Hoodoo, even Obeah to some degree. Shango is practiced in Trinidad and Granada started in 1849 when the indentured African laborers brought it in from Nigeria and began to practice Yoruba belief, but centralized it under Shango. Kele is practiced in St. Lucia. Drum dance of Caraco is practiced in Grenada, where worshippers dance and communicate with ancestors. The Venezuelan call of Maria Leonza, which I posted a little bit about yesterday on my Facebook, draws inspiration from African and Indian and just a small portion of European shamanism. And it's considered a very powerful African-based tradition in Venezuela and in that part of the world. And, of course, Kofa Obeah religion is practiced in Guyana. And Rastafari, which many somehow separate from ATR to some degree, is also a African-based practice where Haile Selassie is sort of superimposed into scripture as the re-manifestation, if you will, of the Christ, and began that movement. But there are also deep, often unknown connections with Rastafari to Kofa Obeah, Shango, and some of the other less known, less publicized paths. So in coming today and in coming days, I want to begin to kind of reorganize some of that information for you, of course, with the purpose so that I can carry you to another level of understanding and manifestation wherever you are along your spiritual path and journey, but indeed assist you in a greater sense of fruitfulness and manifestation with your level of awareness and knowledge and, of course, ever steady, moving us all forward. I want to take just a brief intermission, and I will be forward momentarily with more of the Divine Prince, House of the Divine Prince and Hoodoo Central here live and archived on Blog Talk Radio. I will be forward momentarily. Divine peace and blessing. Ashe.
I'm not afraid.
Alafia and Ashe. Again, I want to humbly, gratefully welcome each and every one of you for your divine being and presence. Amiti Anuket, Kalahai, Dine, Greek, Farwich, all of our special guests, Queen B1, our fellow community priestess, I humbly honor each and every one of you for being with me here live in the chat room on Block Talk Radio. And of course, Goddess, Mother Orisha, area code 678, and of course, area code 718. I humbly honor each and every one of you for being present with me on the phone lines. I remember our live listening call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. Please do be patient with me. I will address your question, comment, or request at the second half of the show as time and spirit does allow. Remember to press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. This will alert me if there is a caller in queue, and I will arrange to address your question, comment, or request sooner than later. When we look at voodoo, specifically here in Haiti and New Orleans, the foundation, if you will, of the practice is deeply rooted in the Congo belief system. And in the Congo belief system, the key mediators between God and human beings are the ancestors. These are the people who were the most unselfish and devoted to the good of their communities and who therefore have advanced and grown powerful in the spirit realm and would have become of assistance and resource to their living families and connections still here on earth. Only special individuals in the Congo tradition can become ancestors, and then only after several generations have passed. In Yoruba, we speak of Egun and Egungun, which in many ways is symbolic or similar to this understanding, Eguns being the deceased, if you will, those who have transferred passed over, particularly in the more recent time, your Egunguns being your ascended ancestors. And prayers are not offered to the ancestors. Worship and prayer is reserved for God alone, who in the Yoruba tradition is Odumare. In the Congo tradition, he is Inzambi Mpangu Tolendando, and who is both unknowable and the source of all life and unlimited power. And except in rare emergencies, God is never approached directly in many ATR paths, but rather through the ancestors to whom people bring their daily problems and need. Now, in some paths, the ancestors are clearly separate from the deity, the Lawa, the Orisha, the lesser deified forms, if you will, that God has given governance over elements, over certain aspects of the cycles of life. And when misfortunes occur, offerings are made often in many of these paths first to the ancestors, who are believed to be angry or dissatisfied in our daily activities, actions, and behaviors. Much like your parents, grandparents, your close family and community members would watch over a child in the community as they grow, develop, learn, and experience. And the Congo community is therefore not limited to the living, as with any path in ATR. We honor and acknowledge the living, but also those who have passed over, including the invisible worlds of the dead and the yet to be born. And since the unborn are not here yet, the land must be protected for future use. And to some degree, to a great degree, we've lost touch with this in Western society, and we are polluting and damaging the land and not necessarily taking account for the future. So in many ATR traditions, indigenous traditional tradition, you could not buy land, you could not sell land outright as we do here in the Western culture. Otherwise, its fertility would be destroyed. And we see a correlation with that now as we grow in population and require more food production. And when we look around, we are actually losing space for food production. So there's indeed a balance there, both literally, figuratively, spiritually, metaphysically, that has to be considered. Whatever your religious path or understanding is, death itself is viewed only as a transition from one level of life to another in traditional African-based animistic religions. Life itself is continuous and unending, and the invisible world is an integral part of the visible one for which many of us are ill-prepared to navigate. Death brings a change of awareness, not a change of place. Those who have lived in harmony with their ancestors are rewarded by going on in Congo tradition to Mpemba, the land of the ancestors, where they will carry on essentially the same life they had here, except without pain, suffering, lack, or need. Those who have lived not according to their ancestors' expectations, who have done harm to others, will have no place in the spirit world in APR and Congo belief, but are forced to roam the earth restlessly. Some say reincarnating into much more complicated situations and scenarios than the life they did not reverence respectfully before. And in the Congo universe, good and evil are not superhuman forces competing for control of the human soul. Good and bad are found in all people as part of human nature. No one is perfect or expected to strive for perfection. Good is that which contributes to the peaceful unity and well-being of the group, of the family, of the community. Evil is anything that disrupts or destroys. The problem of human society is to negotiate a balance between these forces in the community rather than to work towards a more perfect, artificial, superimposed social order. Life is seen as timeless, not evolving or progressing forward to a final goal or catastrophic end. The idea of a millennium is foreign to Congo and many ATR paths. Life is seen as a circle, as a sphere, a continuous, never-ending, rotating, vibrating reality. The way in which the Congo community works for such balance is to recognize certain individuals are endowed with special skills, knowledge, and dealing with the spirit realm. And since all power comes from the spirit realm, they can be channeled for good or evil according to human intention. On the positive side, those people known as Nganga, who are healers, diviners, or teachers, along with their apprentices, they devote themselves to furthering the well-being of the community. On the negative side are the harmful Ndoki, whose objective is to use spirit power to sicken, weaken, kill, and destroy, to disrupt the harmony of the group, of the community, of the cipher. Chiefs and heads of families serve as representatives of the ancestors. It is their responsibility to see that the people are fed, that everyone shares and does his or her part, and that conflicts and problems are resolved wisely and peacefully. We refer to them as our elders. And indeed, we must bring balance to our spirit world by acknowledging the living as well as the deceased, by honoring the elder and the ancestor, and giving reverence to those who have mastered, who have gained special insight into the various branches of our existence, of our past. We must respect again Mother Wit. We must honor again the midwives. We must bring respect and dignity to the elders in our community who carry and pass the baton of wisdom and understanding. Please do allow me to take a short intermission. I will be forward momentarily. Remember, our live listening and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. Remember to press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. I will acknowledge you as time and spirit does allow. Remember that all is indeed a blessing. I will be forward momentarily. Ashe.
Thank you.
So when I look at the family that I grew up in and try to make sense of that love and relationship thing, even for myself, and look at the absence of whole relationships, even in my family, I can count on two hands, maybe, excuse me, the long-term healthy relationships that have maintained on either side of my family, maternal or paternal. So I had to question, well, what is my role now? What is God's purpose in my life? How do I fit into that equation? And I understood early on that certain things would be stopped with me, would not continue with me. Certain legacies, certain generational curses would not be allowed to move on beyond me. So I had to not experience what they experienced. I knew at five I would never have children. And I, till this day, at 44, still have not had what most people would consider a long-term relationship. I had issues with that in my teens, in my 20s, going into my 30s. And some people say it's that crisis number 33 where I began to change almost overnight in my perception of love, relationships, marriage, being single, that whole thing, and weigh out the benefit versus the loss for what I believe to be my divine manifestation right here and now in this moment. And I know as a practitioner, I could not do what I do with some of the, and I'm going to use the word destruction, that I have heard through my clients, seeing through my friends and family. Some of you all have gotten into some really tough spots, and I'm grateful for that. And I mean, you've got to find a place of gratitude for who you are and what you possess and what you're here to do. And maybe you haven't fully crystallized that. My name, Tychicus, means fate, F-A-T-E, so I'm able to see things as they should be, could be, and would be otherwise. So I see you in your deified goddess manifestation. And I would will that you would also, and know that you have and are all that you need. It's divinely innate and inherent right here, right now, in this divine moment. And it sounds cliche, and you will hear older people say it, and you will hear people who are in more long-term healthy relationships say that the minute you suspend your attachment to that as a need, it somehow manifests itself. And when it did manifest myself, itself in my past, I was not accepting of it. I was completely married as I am to the deity, to the house of the divine prince and the ATR way of life. So I'm completely whole and in balance with that, just as it is. And am open and accepting to the divine creator's placing the right person, the right people, the right family, and the right community around you. Now, having said that, I have several wives and hundreds of children, which, again, I could not attend to if I were attached in the way we have accepted it and taught it in westernized culture. And without digressing, there's reasons for that: political, governmental, financial, tax reasons for them wanting to force a certain path on to you, particularly you as women. So surrender to your higher power, to your guide, to your head, to your deity, and allow them to manifest what is most right for you here and now in this divine moment. And know that there's something that you're supposed to get. There's something you're supposed to offer. There's something you're supposed to grow to and often be blessed with before that happens, before that manifests correctly in your life. So allow that, allow that to become your draw. And know that everything else will be added. Again, I often borrow from the Christians because it's familiar to many of us. I think it's irrelevant that I'm no longer supportive of that religion, but I often use it as a tool of explaining ideas. And they have a scripture that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added unto you." So seek to polish your spiritual gift, your spiritual abilities, and know that with that, your financial path will open, your love and relationships path will open, your health and wellness path will open, and you'll find the floodgates will truly open for you, and you will find that you have abundance where you may now be perceiving the illusion of lack. And often, also, if I may add, just on a more big mama kind of piece of advice, well, I don't think we really get to know people anymore before we claim relationship, before we claim a connection. And I think that, too, is tantamount. Again, particularly with many of my callers, I'm just amazed sometimes at how little it takes, really, for some of us to want and feel that sense of connection. But then when we look at and enumerate what's being fed from the other person, it's not there. And you ask, okay, what is it again that you love about this person? Okay, they're not even giving you a response. So what are you connected to? What are you in love with? And I think we're often infatuated with an idea of love rather than a real experience and reality of love. And particularly I'm going to go there with this time of year and Valentine's Day. I was in Walmart yesterday. Yes, I did say Walmart. And it turned out to be a nightmare. Okay. But I was in Walmart yesterday, and they must have had an aisle. It had to be at least 80 feet long of nothing but Valentine's Day stuff. I mean, it was overwhelming. So you watch TV, you read the news, you look at the magazines, you see the displays in the store, and we get a very artificial sense of love and about a romanticized image of what that should be and what that is. And it's very rarely ever in touch with reality. So again, the strongest advice I can offer you is to surrender. Stop working for it, searching for it. Go on a fast. Take a period off. It doesn't have to be negative. Just look, I need to fast for a week, a month, and give yourself time to truly, truly connect with spirit and know that ultimately the most advantageous thing will come to you if you truly invest in spirit. And I'm not telling you what that is or what that should be. I think that's part of the absolute magnificence of it. I'm just asking you to open yourself to it, to invite it in, invoke it, speak to it, allay your concerns by expressing them in the spirit realm, in your prayer, in your meditation, in your ritual. But then be faithful enough, trusting enough, believing enough to know that there is a higher power, higher force at work with you and for you. I'm often amazed by, again, Christians, evangelical Christians who call me in an uproar about their love lives, and they are very resistant to accepting guidance divine in your path. But we often think that, you know, at least they try and prophesize that that's their belief. So we in ATR and Ifa land and Yoruba land and Budoan and Hoodoo and Obeya too must truly, truly operate within that which we truly believe and understand. And if you are in connection with spirit, then spirit is supposed to operate for you, not against you. And some of you are in an adversarial relationship with spirit. So release that and allow what's most true, what's most authentic, what's most pure to gravitate to the top. And know that it will be there. If they can't wait for it, they're definitely not the one. And indeed, in all things, surrender to spirit. I want to take a quick break, and then I will return with the affirmation and meditation. I'll entertain any questions, comments, or concerns from the chat and the phone line. Area code 814, I do see that your hand is raised, and I will be with you momentarily, so don't hang up on me, okay? Our phone lines are actually full now, but be reminded that if you want to be a part of the after set from 2 to 3, when the show ends at 2 online, we are still on the phone lines, often with music, but I do entertain conversation when it's pertinent. So remember, area code 347-215-8967. And right now, phone lines are full, but do make an attempt to get on the phone line in the next 20 minutes if you do wish to be a part of the after set. And area code 814, I will be forward with you momentarily, okay? Divine peace and blessings, joy, and prosperity.
Amen. Amen. Vous êtes la vie nous Papa pour digital, vous savez pire, pratiquez pas bouger. Vous êtes la vie nous y est, mes amis.
Thank you.
Alafia, divine unity and community. Again, I'm grateful for your divine presence and your patience through our brief intermission. Thank you for being present with us live in the Blog Talk Radio chat. Aminti, Hanuket, Kalahat, Dancer, 0924, DNA Freak, all of our special guests, Queen B1 and Sister Abana Racism, Non-Anonymous, and of course, those of you who are present with me now on the phone lines. 814, I am coming to you briefly. I just want to tell this quick story. I was in the eighth grade when I performed my first love spell, and I was a very precocious kid, if you will. I needed proof, definitive and affirmative proof, and to choose someone who in reality would be least likeliest to connect was my goal. And I used my sister Tessie, who lived across the street. Some of you know her from my Facebook page. And then a guy from the neighborhood, okay, and I'm not going to use any details to describe him. I'm just going to say a guy from the neighborhood. And it worked, and it scared me to death. And I swore at that time I would never do another love spell again. But then I found myself 20 years later, about 1986, had been in a relationship. The relationship ended suddenly and abruptly. A year of separation, and I decided I'm going to do this spell. And this is a warning, a lesson, a reminder to all of you who are particularly into controlling rather than invoking love. So I had to work this spell. And it had some components to it. I put it in the mail, and I mailed it. 2 weeks later, 3-day bus ride later, from New York all the way to Los Angeles, showed up at my door. Showed up addicted, showed up worse than before, and we must be clear with creative space and divinity when we invoke to perform these love connections and repairs, and be clear about what we're reconnecting. Many seek me for love and relationship work, and there's a reason that I offer guarantee. But anyone who's ever sought me will tell you, you get at least 10 pages of documentation explaining the aspects of love and relationship work and how we should have that clarity before we try and force a connection which may otherwise not be advantageous for us. So I just thought I would share those two stories about love and relationships and ritual spell work and being clear about what we're bringing together, or indeed what divine light brings together cannot be brought asunder through no amount of separation. So we must be spiritually pure and clear in our invocation of finances or love and relationship or success and prosperity, and have some clarity of mind and understanding before we proceed. So I'm going to go now to my phone lines. In all fairness, area code 814 has had their hand raised for more than a minute. I apologize. Please tell me who's calling and where you're calling from.
This is Shannon, and I'm calling from Pennsylvania. And I have quite a long time ago. Yes,
oh,
sir.
Okay, I know your energy feels familiar to me. So how can I help you today?
Oh, dear. There's apparently, I'm not asking the right questions over here. I don't know how to which questions to ask. There are a few mistakes. Okay, mistakes don't happen. How do I say this? There are a few circumstances that need immediate change in my life. And whatever is going on is like a continuous, and I'm ready to make that change.
And it's affecting you, if I can interrupt, and it's affecting you in several different ways, correct?
Yes, more than one. Financially, romantically, you name it, it is. And I'm not sure
exactly.
Yeah, that's
exactly what I meant. I just didn't want...
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what it is. I've done a lot of different things than I've normally ever done. So I guess I'm just like, okay, how do I take care of this situation so that I can move forward in a positive way in my life?
And understand, I can most definitely help you with that. But I'm very concerned about the personal aspects of your story. And you know what I mean. And I don't want to enumerate them on air, which is why I was sort of generic when I said that it's affecting you in many ways. And you sort of went forward and said, you know, more than what I really want to say about your situation live on air. But send me a request off air, and I'd be glad to help you with that, okay? I fully get the gravity of your situation and where you are right now. And in needing not only change, but results more sooner than later, if you will. So if you would just send me a request off air, I would be more than glad to address that for you. It would be difficult for me to sort of even discuss your situation right now without us revealing personal information. And I'm very cautious about that. Yeah, my regulars would tell you, it's not you. I've been this way since my first day on Block Talk Radio. We are being recorded. It is going in the archive. So I just think people should guard their personal details in this format. But know that I can help you. And I'm truly grateful for your call and your courage to call with, you know, your concern. And know that I'm here for you. So, again, I'm going to mute you now. But right after the show, just send me a request. And make sure you include your contact information, and I'll be more than happy to assist you in moving forward. And I'm result-oriented, so you come to the right place. I'm just, again, a little uncomfortable with certain types of readings in this format, particularly if it's going to reveal details about a person's, you know, identity or specific things involving their life path. So I'm, again, just contact me off air. I'll be more than happy to assist you. We have about 20 minutes left in the show. Again, my listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. I'm actually a little emotional after just connecting with your energy as an empath. So, again, I'm with you. Just send me a request off air. I'll be more than happy to assist you. And I'm going to move forward with the affirmation and meditation. Some people call, make connection with the show specifically for that, and I don't want to deny anyone the affirmation and meditation. So, on that note, in this divine moment in time space, we lose divine serenity and tranquility, wellness, health, and prosperity. We bind that which would seek to divide, conquer, destroy, and enslave within us and around us. And we loose divine light and consciousness, truth and power, wisdom and understanding onto our earth plane dimension for divine manifestation and revelation. We vibrate right now with our ascended ancestors and Aguns and Gede and all those who've gone on before us in transition, and which would assist us in that which is good and righteous here and now on this earth plane dimension. We forever reverberate and reiterate their names and enliven our lives with their divine wisdom and presence, ancestors known and unknown, spirit forces seen and unseen. And may we forever give their names praise and glory and not bring shame, disgrace, or dishonor. Shall we now invoke and manifest our highest good and vibration here and now in this divine moment in time and space, and realize our ultimate destiny to change the world, so-called civilization, and ourselves as we now know it, I and I, and I even me. As we enter this hallowed and sacred ground, let us be mindful in our inner walk, work, and pronunciations, that they would recreate and reshape the reality of all towards that which is most righteous, pure, and authentic. As we now enter the inner sanctums of Hoodoo Central, in the presence of all who stand with us, ever stood with us in divine light and illumination, love and protection, we light and illuminate our candles, a constant fervent prayer unto our spirit guides and protectors, a reminder of the presence of light even in darkness, a guiding lamp, an amplification of our soul's journey through the darkness of this underworld. We burn and offer frankincense and myrrh to cleanse and purify our light bodies and our intentions. We pour libation to bring rebirth, refreshment, regeneration, ever pure in our motivation, ever pure in our understanding, ever pure in our dealings with one another and ourselves, ever pure with our connection to spirit. Hear the sounding, chiming harmonies and vibrations of the divine, universal reverberation, reordering and rebalancing us all ever steady back into light and consciousness, reminding us that all is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veil, for it's all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle that makes it navigable, possible, changeable, rearrangeable, and not set in absolute. So remember who you are. You are a powerful, loving, loved, created, creator, child of the Most High God and Goddess, and you are divine love manifest. You are divine spirit manifest, divine math, divine science, divine astrology and numerology, quantum manifestation. You are made in the image and likeness of your creator, so you embody aspects of all those qualities. Your inner light, pure and bright and truth, and no mistakes can undo God's divine handiwork of true perfection. Do not be afraid of your power, of your magnificence, of your wisdom, of your mystery. When you succeed, you inspire others to succeed. When you change and transform, you inspire others to change and transform. So be powerful, be transformative, be light and magnificent, for indeed this is who you are. Mirror and reflect back unto us your most divine light and spark, that most true and perfected authentic self. Free yourselves from the limited constraints of Earth law and physicality. And remember with me, your most perfect life, body, and consciousness. You have creative allowance to create and recreate the light, the love, the environment, the clarity you need, seek, and desire to move forward. I am because my creators are all-powerful, open, and receptive to all that operates for my good here and now in this divine moment. You too have the power to create and recreate, to reshape your life, your path, your destiny. The divine creators and their emissaries are my help in every time, space, and need. They fulfill my every hunger, feed my every need. They walk with me, beside me, within me, divine guides along my way. Through every moment, every event, every journey, every emotion of every day. Surrender. Not to something beyond yourself or outside yourself, but to yourself, your higher self, your most perfected and evolved self. Get her into your vision. Bring him into your awareness. And then ascend, grow, develop towards that true and most authentic you. I create and recreate my divine destiny, and I am because my creators are without beginning or ending, eternal, free to experience life in any way that I choose. And my consciousness is not bound by time, space, or place. What you think, say, believe, or do. And like the universe itself, I am limitless. I'm a part of the vast and unified wholeness. I am free from all earthly concerns about the past. I am free from all illusionary concerns about the future. My life is in divine order as it unfolds according to a perfect and divine plan. I do not strive to attain the things that you desire. I do not strive to attain the things that I desire. I simply allow them to flow to me, through me, for me, and before me as I release my grip on life. For I'm calm in the knowledge and the knowing that all my needs are divinely taken care of. And I am open to all of life's experiences as the moments of my life come and go. I am in peace, divine peace, serenity, and tranquility. I do not judge, I welcome, I observe, I accept, and I move forward. When problems arise, and they do arise, do not resist them, observe them with a calm, open mind and spirit, and know that they will be resolved and answers provided in divine timing. And I have all the time in the world, for I am time, I am limitless, I am eternal, for my creators are time, limitless, and eternal. And in the quiet spaces between my thoughts and my ego, they speak to me, they minister and administer to me, and all things become clear. Our life transforms in magical and unexpected ways, and obstacles that once seemed impassable and insurmountable now seem smaller, smaller and insignificant. And I rise effortlessly above all challenges to a place of serenity, tranquility, and knowing. My path forward becoming clearer and clearer, like quartz crystal clear. every day in every way my life becomes more and more harmonious as I trust in the natural flow of spirit. I resist nothing, I yearn for nothing, I gratefully receive all that comes my way. My consciousness is not bound by time, space, or place. And like the universe itself, divinity itself, like the divine creator, I am divinely created. I am limitless. I am a part of a vast and unified wholeness. I am in divine balance. I am divine conviction. Yeshua, I like Monaco, be wary. I will also tell me evil. Ada Obambo Osi Obatalani Eterni Ipo Onito Oban Ishu. Ishu is the respected elder who flaws, confronts, and uncovers all that one versed in mysteries uses truth to own you. He calls the scattered to feed poverty. Obatala shakes rascals to have sacrifice. The owner of warning is the one who is Yeshua. Aboru Aboye Aboshise Ashe, may our evil reach a wound. May our evil be accepted. May our evil allow what we desire to come to pass. And so we say, Ashe, Ashe, and Ashe. Again, I am truly honored, humbled, blessed, and acknowledge each and every one of your divine being and presence with us at this moment in time space here on Mother Father Earth. And I'm truly grateful and appreciative for what each and every one of you offer and bring to us and for us each and every day in this world in your unique, powerful, and individual, innovative way. I invite you to commune with me tomorrow at 12 noon U.S. Central Standard Time in this squared circle of gods and goddess priests and priestess, prophets, and prophets, and offer you divine joy and prosperity until we meet again. For those of you who are present with me on the phone lines, I will make an attempt to respond to each and every one of you in the after set. Again, I offer peace and blessings, joy, and prosperity to those of you who will now be leaving us via the chat and the remote players. And again, welcome you here with the Divine Prince, House of the Divine Prince, and Hoodoo Central, Thai Potions, here in this legendary and extraordinary city of New Orleans, Louisiana, here on Blog Talk Radio. All is indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Now I know that the chosen are few. There's no mountain I can climb, though the valley is so wide. I'll be always driving consciously through. So someday I'll find somewhere I can be free, to live with love harmony. It might take some time, but I never get weary.
Alafia, divine peace and blessings. Area code 718, I believe that is Aminti. Your line is now open. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. Greetings. How you doing?
All is indeed a best blessing. I'm overbooked and always busy as usual, but indeed things are moving forward.
Good. I'll be there very soon. Looking forward to that, being very busy and overbooked.
I'm looking forward to it because I can truly use the help, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I hear that. I have a question because I just saw about the divination readings. My first question is, when you do the reading, do you have a specific kind of reading that you do with people? And when it comes to the divination reading, I see the one where people use like the cowrie shells. I probably pronounce it very funny. Or they take the chalk. I saw one picture where you have the chalk, and then you have like, I don't know, the stones and stuff that you use in the middle. What kind of reading, when do you use that type of reading? I hope you understand the questions I'm asking. I'm kind of asking two questions in one. Like, when do you use that type of reading? And, do you even use those kind of reading when you do readings such as on and everything?
I absolutely do. Now, it depends, first of all, what is being asked, what they're divining into, and the medium.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they're calling me, like, be a king, it's often going to be difficult to do a cowrie shell reading, or what we call a Delagoon reading, which is a complex and elaborate Yoruba Ifa reading where we use a Ifa board. Where you spoke of the chalk, it's actually not a chalk. It's actually a powder made from an herb, and you throw the shell and you mark lines, and the lines equate to a number.
Mm-hmm.
And then the numbers equate to a story or a parable, if you will, which relates to the situation. And we often use that more elaborate Delagoon where we can't get a more immediate answer or response with shorter forms of divination. And typically, specifically in Santeria, Lokomi, Yoruba, Ifa, we will often use what's called a Biagu first, mm-hmm. which is a coconut shell reading, and you break the coconut in a very specific and ritualized way, and you get a certain number of pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And then those pieces are thrown, and they can give a more simplistic answer. For instance, yes, no, maybe, or you need to consult a Babalao in a much more complex form of practice. Some use tarot cards and other forms of divination, but these aren't obviously native to the ATR path. Now, when we look at the Caribbean, Haiti, particularly post-colonialism, you find some usages of cards. Papa Say uses regular playing cards in a very similar fashion to tarot, but the laying and the patterning is very different. So, again, it depends on how they're consulting me and how much in-depth they're willing to look into whatever the specific issue is. Some people are looking for the confirmation for the more simple answer. And particularly when I'm working on the phone, I typically only operate from a more empathic perspective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really don't have time to give the respect and the justice to a formal definition. So I operate then in spirit. And in order to do that, you must give that time every day to prayer, to meditation, to placating the deity that you may utilize as guides and messengers, and that sort of helps to fine-tune your gift. Also, of course, as you probably already know, I stand on crystal and its ability to heighten your ability to receive frequencies, higher frequencies, and to grow as a telepath, as an empath, as a psychic. So using them can definitely also help in the empathic reading. And it's more than just wearing them, carrying them in the presence. You really got to work with them every day, bond with the stone, meditate with the stone, because they have a personality. And they have certain information that are specific to the stone that they only relate to the person who's connected with them. So, again, I strongly support that as a form of doing divination. Now, when I'm doing more personalized divination, I will use stone or crystal, but I often will go to I Ching. And I Ching comes from the Orient, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think is a profoundly accurate, more personalized divinationary tool. And it's most appropriate for personal use. I know some people do use it with other people, but, again, it's a rather complicated divination, and depending on how you're applying it, it would be very difficult to do it, particularly over the phone or remotely in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, you did, because I have confidence that I could do any type of reading. But I'm finding myself more and more drawn to the Ifa divination and going deeper into the readings. That's why I posed that question, because I'm so drawn to the energy of when people do readings from the water and the cowrie shells and the bones, you know. So I'm just kind of like drawn to all of that.
And understand, you may already know this. Now, there's some politics around Ifa specifically,
mm-hmm.
and women don't do Ifa as a reader. Women cannot ascend to Babalao in Ifa. There are other priestess-type roles in Ifa, and that's where my political parting, if you will, with Ifa came, and where I began to sort of stand more on my voodoo and hoodoo tradition was because I could not really move beyond that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Of relating spirit to women in that way. Now, do I know women who do Ifa board? Absolutely. However, again, it's considered taboo, just like in the Rastafarian circle, it's taboo for women to drum or to hold a drum between her legs. Mm-hmm. That there are certain taboos that go along with certain paths in divination. So this may too be why you find that many, particularly in the commercialized spirituality and religion, online, you know, are using tarot, are using other, for lack of better words, less sensitive forms of divination, because of the taboos and other rules and regulations that come into play with that. And to be quite honest with you, I don't know any women personally who practice or follow Ifa Yoruba who give readings professionally.
I didn't know there was a difference. You just schooled me on something. I thought it was all the hoodoo, the Ifa Yoruba. I thought it was all the same in the voodoo. I guess I see that it's not. I sort of reintroduced
that whole ATR thing at the beginning of the show today, because there is a lot of confusion. There is a lot of mixing and blurring that's going on now, particularly on the internet, mm-hmm. because of the resource.
Mm-hmm.
And the real stuff is just not being passed down. And then people are finding that they're, you know, being ripped off or losing money or losing time and effort because this information is not readily available, or is available but not easily assimilated, you know. So I try to share that, which in itself is a taboo. There's some people that are upset about me for sharing certain things on my program that would otherwise be kept secret and kept behind the confines of a formalized initiatory process. I don't seek out to, you know, raise anybody's ire, but I do seek to educate people and move people on to the next level. I don't think that there's any harm in doing that so that people can move forward. And I think it's necessary, if all paths in ATR are going to survive, that we do so. You know, we have to bring the covers off on certain information and explain why certain things have passed down the way they have been passed down, and then move forward in a pure and concise manner without any illusion, without any blocks. So, yeah, do your research, of course. They're all over the place. There are many Babalawos attached to me in Facebook and in many of the other social networks. Ifa Sakin, I've had him on my show. I will consider him a more traditionalist Ifa priest.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, actually that suggests we don't even agree on many things, but I respect him and what he does, and he respects me and what I do, and, you know, we sort of kind of carry forward in that way. But I'm open to people getting all sides of the coin, all opinions, and then being able to make the most appropriate decision for yourself. But, yeah, there are many forms of divination that you can look into. Another person you want to contact is Sangoma priestess Nana Alana Omare. She's Goddess Love Light on my Facebook. Excuse me. She's a Sangoma priestess, which is more South African-oriented path. So it has its separate ways of doing things and divinations and things of that nature. And I'm not even sure that she does divination. So it's a very interesting dichotomy. We find many more women doing divinations, obviously post-colonialism and here in the Americas, particularly because of the intermixing, intermarriage, if you will, of various past cultures and traditions. Very profound readers, one locally here, Priestess Miriam, is one of my godmothers and works out of the Voodoo Temple here on Rampart Street in New Orleans, Louisiana. She uses crystal. I've seen her use card. I've never seen her use Ifa board. Again, they're taboos related to it.
And just one more thing.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, just one more thing. I just wanted to say that because I just feel it in my spirit that any type of anything that's presented to me, I can do it. Do you know what I'm saying? If you was to just show me something, I would get it immediately. You know what I'm saying? I would get it, you know?
Particularly if you're operating directly from spirit. And I think that gets lost in commercialized reading. People develop an ego and they begin to read for themselves. And to be honest with you, without calling anybody out specifically, I've talked to many readers in my personal life, away from Keen, away from Black person, and they're just not very spiritual at all.
Right.
Some of them are using computer programs and more math-oriented forms of reading, where you're dealing with numbers, so that you're going to get a certain amount of ratio for correctness and incorrectness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, that's, you know, do what you do. I'm not standing in judgment of them, but people should know what they're getting and should expect to have some understanding of what they're paying for. And that's where my success comes in, because people say, you know, after they do get my readings, it's more detailed than they've ever gotten before. It's more information than they've ever gotten before. So as we were saying, even as it related to the love and relationship, trust in spirit, trust in the path that you are on and that you're called, even if it's not always clear to you, and always go back to spirit. We have teachers, we have books, we have the internet, but always bounce everything back to spirit, and you'll always come out on top without any problem. But listen, I truly appreciate your call. I'm going to mute you just for a minute and try and take another call. Sometimes we get cut off in the after set, so I want to go to area code 832. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
This is Nikisha from Houston.
I'm sorry, Nikisha. I didn't hear you.
Nikisha from Houston.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Sure, I can now. I think you were just kind of moving around. I can hear you now. And how can I assist you?
I was just wanted to reiterate what you were talking about in regard to Ifa and the feminine principle. I've been into Ifa quite a while now. However, I chose not to go any further than Aberisha because of that inability of women. Well, I was told when I started years ago to divine. But what is starting to happen is because there's a large amount of women of African descent here in America that are basically getting into Ifa, there are women, there is this title that they have now called Ianifa, and there's been controversy behind it. The Ianifa can divine with the Opele, and the can divine with the Opele, can do readings and things of that nature in the same manner that a Babalawo can do.
Slow down, sister, slow down for me. Now, for those who don't understand Opele, that's a chain reading, right? It's a chain with eight pieces in it that flip and have symbols on them, and they mark the divination with the Opele.
Mm-hmm. Which, yes, and I wanted to know, have you heard anything about this particular controversy in regards to the quote-unquote new Ianifas, which are supposed to be the equivalent of Babalawos? And my concern was, is this a response to the growing number of women of African descent here in America in the diaspora that are getting to Ifa like a kind of like a supply and demand type thing, or is it something that has happened in the past? Because in one particular lineage, they basically said, no, in our lineage, women cannot divine, but you'll go to another lineage, Ifa lineage, and they'll say, yes, they can. But I do understand because of economics in Africa, specifically in Yoruba land, sometimes people will create and do things in order to make money. So that was my main concern with it. Is this a tool to make money, you know? Or is this a viable, title or initiation, you know?
And I'm going to reopen Amenti's mic, too, so she can come in on that. But let me say, I've talked about that a great deal on my show, but from a very different perspective. I start with Odudwa and Yeshu. Mm-hmm. And we understand that Yeshu was a primordial mound. And those of you who truly understand know that Yeshu was first female.
Mm-hmm.
And so to Odudwa. And there came a point when something happened. And I posed that question. Who decided to make her male? Who decided to change this? And in my something 30 years of doing this, I've come in contact with many people, Africans, Canadians, Nigerians. So I've kind of been able to piece together my own understanding of this. And politically, something happened at some point to disempower women. We just can't deny that.
Mm-hmm.
And give them a back seat. Now, I think personally, and this is my personal opinion, that a great deal of this came through colonization, through
Islam
and Christianity, and invading cultures, that this was not always the way. I know from E. Anifas personally, and there's, again, as you said, there's a lot of controversy around it, some very hateful talk around it. I've heard male, you know, Babalawos call them lesbians. I've heard them compared to a feminist movement. And again, for looking for answers, operating in the spirit, I think that only suggests to us that this is really about sexism and about keeping power away from women. So I personally, I'm not against women doing divination, not one bit. But I think that if we're going to look at it from the context of religion and heritage and laying down a foundation to move forward, we have to acknowledge that the deity and the culture and the traditions themselves have always been in a state of transformation. They will continue to transform and meet the needs of the people where we are. So when you lay, when you offer the suggestion of timing or fad or filling a need, absolutely there is some element of that. People are becoming more and more aware of ATR in general, particularly because of the internet. They know that there's a void there. People are leaving the church, like what you're being told, in large number, or at least no longer trusting it to fulfill their needs. So they may be warming the pew, but they're calling me on the weekend. So, yeah, you're right. People are sort of stepping up to fulfill that definitionary need because people want that. And it's really popular right now. And it brings some confusion, I think, if you're not careful, are you contacting someone who's sort of on their journey, they're studying, they're examining, they're practicing, if I can use that word, as opposed to someone who's received the initiation, also has the gift, also has the skill, and is operating as a professional, and, which is what I'm doing. And that sort of brings in a whole nother dynamic. I call it the Miss Cleo factor because she's credited divination for people of color to some degree. And we're mirrored back against that whole Miss Cleo thing. And people don't understand Igbo. They don't understand offering. And they want you to dedicate your time and your effort for nothing. Really to sort of entertain them as opposed to those of us, such as you, Carla, who are truly initiated and on the path and understand the taboos and understand all the things that are at work. So it's really in our responsibility, I think, to make sure that that information is being disseminated as you're doing, as I'm doing here today, and to pass that on, but also resist the ghosts of the past and the generational curses of sexism, racism, and all the oppressive things that, you know, infiltrated our culture during colonialism and move forward in a much more holistic, healthy way.
That's right.
Yeah.
Are you with?
And that's the part of the reason why I wanted to get initiated, which I still am, so I can learn more about, you know, unseen forces, you know. And, of course, you have to trust someone to do that and to go further in my work and to do work for other people. And this is why for so long I just kind of weighed it out. You know, I just weighed out my options of who I'm going to deal with and how because of situations like what the sister's speaking of.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And I agree with what you're saying, and that's the reason why that I have chosen not to be initiated because of the Iwakwele or the character of some of the people that I've ran into. Not saying that I'm looking for someone to float on down on a lotus petal or anything like that, but it's just certain things that have to be in line in regards to someone's character. And especially since I'm a lover of women and I am a woman, and I'm in love with that energy and I'm in love with who I am.
Mm-hmm.
When I see that sexist, patriarchal, one-sidedness, especially that you usually will see in a traditional forms of Ifa, it has turned me off. And I decide, you know what, I want to do this. Because especially when I found out that, you know, the basic concept of Ifa is to understand the feminine Ashe. And when you say the feminine Ashe, understand the Ashe of a woman in regards to creation, not the physical form of a woman, but that energetic energy of a woman in regards to being able to bring to manifestation. So it's like, you know what, I'm not trying to get that from someone that doesn't believe in that energy.
Yeah.
But you guys, I'm actually at work, so I'm going to get off, and I'm just going to listen. And thank you so much.
And I certainly appreciate your call and offer you to come back. You have a lot of information yourself. I'm a Pan-African spiritualist, so I've been exposed to many paths, but I don't often have that more focalized information about a singleized path as you do about Ifa. So I'm really honored and grateful for your divine being and presence with us today.
Ashe.
Ashe. Aminti, did you have another question or comment?
Well, no, you know, pretty much answered everything. I'm just still on my path, you know, all my options or what I'm going to do. I'm just ready to really get back into my reading work and my spiritual work and my video work. You know, that's all I'm ready to do.
And know that I'm here for you. I don't proselytize, and I'm sure you noticed that. I'm not here to win members for my temple and my community, but I'm certainly open to that, and I'm always looking to, you know, bring more people into the fold. So just know that I'm here for you. I greatly appreciate your divine being and presence as well and your sharing with the Divine Prince here on Block Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you, and I'm going to mute you also as well. And Goddess Mother Varisha, and the other hands, and the other numbers, 718 and 678 that are on the line, know that I am here for you. If you do have a question or comment or request, remember to press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. I'm going to go to some music right now. Hopefully we will make it the whole hour. Every now and then, Block Talk Radio will have some kind of issue, and the after set will be interrupted abruptly. Know that that's not me. So I generally will play music until 3 o'clock, but if it cuts off, it wasn't me, and I will be here for you all tomorrow at noon. Peace and blessings. Ashe.
Yeah. Thank you.
Free your heart from hatred. Free your mind from worry. Live simply. Give more than expected and expect more from spirit and less from people. All is in need of blessing. Ashe.
I don't mind what the heathen say, that I love me. shall fool away.